Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good evening, everyone. I was so tempted to say good afternoon because I'm so used to doing this show in the afternoon. And on a different day. Normally, my interviews are on Wednesdays. This is Pam with Take Two Radio Music, and I hope you all are having a great evening. I hope that you've gotten your start or at least finished up would be good of your Christmas shopping. They just said on the news the biggest day is going to be Saturday, so be like me and shop online. Safer, faster, you don't have to get dressed, waste gas, but deal with all those people. Unless that's something you like to do, then go for it. And anyway, let's get back to what I'm doing here today. I'm so off. You wouldn't believe the things that went wrong right before this. But anyway, I'm very pleased to have joining me an award-winning country singer, songwriter, and his name is Brandon Maddox. Brandon, are you with me?
I'm with you.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, I think you heard my mess, right?
Well, just a little bit of it. Yeah.
It's one of those days, you know, that when they say when everything can go wrong, it does. So, yeah, that's what happened. But we'll just brush that off because now the right part is starting because I'm getting to talk to you.
Well, that's great. And mine, too, because mine was a little bit like that, too. I had to have a plumber come out and fix some things with the house. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And plumber is never good news.
No.
I hope it's straightened out for you.
It is. Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, I always start my show with the guests that I have on, giving us a little bit of a background on when they became interested in music. You know, were you a little boy? How did that go?
Yeah, ever since I was a little boy, really, I guess 4 years old, I, you know, was singing. And I guess I always loved music. I mean, it was just in my, you know, my soul or, you know, it was always kind of an innate thing. My dad listened to music quite a bit growing up, and I guess I was about 10 or 11 that I decided, you know, I'd like to learn to play the guitar. And so I asked my dad if he would show me a couple of chords on the guitar, and he did. And then I kind of like took it from there and started teaching myself to play guitar about age 11 or 12. The Beatles, old Beatles books were what I learned out of, and they were they were kind of my inspiration, my early inspiration for writing songs, knowing that they did all their own songwriting.
All right.
That's how I got into it, but it wasn't until years later that I decided, you know, I would like to do this for a living, you know, and pursue it to that extent.
Now, did you grow up with country music? Is that how you ended up doing it, or did it choose you?
It's a combination. I did grow up with country music, but more of the Johnny Cash and more, you know, Hank Williams Sr. And then some of the things my dad was listening to. But I didn't really, it wasn't, you know, something that I just was crazy about until I was in my 20s. And I was like, okay, so I was dating this girl and she had country music playing, and I kind of, you know, to please her, I put it on the country music station and so was listening to it and kind of absorbed it. And I was like, you know, this isn't so bad, because I'd had a few songs in my past that were really pop country, I guess you could say, when I was a kid, that just kind of turned me off to some mm-hmm. of country music. And it wasn't until I got to hear more of it that I was like, it isn't all like this. There's a lot more out there that's real. And the real songs is what I connected with in the country music genre.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was younger, I wasn't really – country music wasn't my first choice, let's put it that way. You know, it was more like a rock chick. I absolutely loved rock music and went to a lot of concerts and stuff like that. And my mom loved to listen to country music as well as to, like, her 50s music and that. And I used to make fun of her. Because country was really, really country then, you know what I mean? There was no really not that much pop influence or rock or anything. And so I used to make fun of her, but, you know, I enjoyed listening to Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton and all of those people there. And then as I got older, something happened the same way. I don't know. I can't blame a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It just all of a sudden I heard a song. You know what? I do remember because it's somebody that you remind me of. It was George Strait. I watched Pure Country and I fell in love with his music. And I didn't know at that time that he was a country star. And I looked him up and found out he was. Started listening to his music, and it went from there.
Yeah, and that's
and you remind me a lot about him.
Well, thank you. That's a really high compliment. He's one of my heroes in country music. Actually, Pure Country, when I was kind of having that transitionary period into country, after the girl exposed it to me, you know, I just saw it randomly come on TV, and Pure Country was another kind of like influence. And then Brad Paisley, seeing him being inducted to the Grand Ole Opry and seeing him playing a live show, that was another big catalyst of bridging like the rock, lead guitar, you know, great guitar players in rock and roll with a great guitar player in country. So, yeah, those two things were big time. And Toby Keith, you know, the outlaw thing. But there was a number of things that kind of pushed me towards country, too.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's funny, too, that you bring up Brad Paisley, because when I used to go to concerts, I'd take my daughter, and she was little, and she didn't like country at that time, so she would just sit there to sit with her mom. But Brad Paisley came on the stage, that was it. She was in love. So I guess there's always somebody out there that can pull you in, even if you think you don't like something, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's so true. Yeah.
Well, how have your inspirations changed over the years?
Yeah, they've kind of stayed true to the traditional, more traditional side. You know, there's a difference between, you know, there's a lot of people that I know, they're like, they're either one way, they're either pop country with Luke Bryan and, you know, all that, and bro country, or they're the other way, and they're just Waylon and Willie and Merle kind of people. And I'm sort of in the middle of all that. I'm like, you know, I appreciate great songs, whether they're pop country, whether they're, you know, old school country. But I tend to find the great songs that I consider great songs more on the traditional side when I hear something, instead of this, you know, get you in my truck song over and over again, just a different way.
Right. There's music out there in every genre that's like that. So unfortunately, but that's why I love independent artists too, because you guys bring something new to the table, and we, you know, you bring something new all the time. It seems like, you know, we might wait a little bit longer for you to get something out, but when it does come out, it's well worth listening to over and over until the next song comes out.
Well, we really appreciate that. And a lot of people, I appreciate, you know, folks that are, I guess, more, they're like ahead of the curve, and they're looking at independent acts and saying, you know, what is there to listen to here that we can hear that's new and fresh? Whereas the majority of people that just take what's on the radio, and they're just like, oh, well, that's somebody I've heard of before, so I'm going to listen to them. And it's all, you know, it's all perception. But when it comes to independent acts, you know, we may not have a lot of money, but we've got good songs. We work hard. We make it, you know, we tour the country. We do it all on our own dime. We do it all with a lot of perspiration. And I guess the circles that I run in, we're always trying to come up with creative stuff. We're not trying to write something that's cliche. We're trying to write something that's new and that's not been done before, because that's where you get the greatest pleasure and all of that. But I guess we just don't hear that much when you turn on the dial, you know, sometimes.
That's so true.
Yeah, I appreciate your radio station for playing artists like me and just those independent, non-mainstream radio stations that aren't just like, pay us money for advertising and we'll play this song. you guys just play it because you love music and you promote, you know, good music. So appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really do love music, just about any kind that's out there. And so I enjoy doing the show very much and getting to speak with people like you and that I think are so truly, truly talented and need to be a household name very, very soon. And I think you're on your way there. I think you got a pretty good start.
Oh, thank you.
Now, when you're...
You're welcome.
When you first started writing, were the songs for yourself or were they more you were just writing them and if other people wanted to sing them, that was okay too?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. When I first started, I mean, I was 11 years old when I wrote my first song.
Right.
And so I really was just doing it to see if I could do it. I was just like, okay, this is cool. This is a good exercise. I wonder if I can write a song. And so I started doing that for that purpose. And then after I had, you know, a few songs that I'd written, it became more of like, well, I want to write it better and I want to do it better than I did the last time. And I wasn't even thinking about, oh, I want to play this in front of lots of people. I was just thinking, I want to play this for myself. And maybe for family or something, or if I do get asked to play somewhere, you know, maybe I'll get to play it. But they were more deep personal things at the time, kind of things, you know, when I was first writing. And then when I moved to Nashville, I actually, my focus was more initially that I was going to write for other people and have mm-hmm. those songs recorded by other acts. And so I really tried to get, you know, went to a lot of songwriting seminars and workshops and all this and that to try to improve my songwriting. And I worked with Chris Gantry, who's actually I had a publishing deal because of Chris Gantry, and he wrote a lot of songs for Johnny Cash and all these, the 70s guys. He wrote Dreams of the mm-hmm. Everyday Housewife for Glen Campbell. And Chris took me under his wing and just kind of like mentored me with songwriting. And I learned a lot of what I know from him. And I've just had, you know, that was my main focus when I started was get a publishing deal, write for other people, and try to just be behind the scenes with it. And then the industry sort of changed, and I did too with that because the industry got to where they didn't really want to hear your song anymore. They just were like, okay, we want you to... you know, if you want to do this thing, you got to have lots of money and you got to have the political connections to be able to get your song heard. So with all that, I decided, well, I'm not too good at schmoozing. you know, I can't tell people a bunch of stuff that, you know, isn't true for the sake of my getting ahead with my career. I'm just going to go out there and take these songs to the world myself with my own vocals and my own guitar playing. And so that's what I did. And I wouldn't change a thing. I think it was a good move, and I'm enjoying being a performer more than I ever thought that I would be.
Yeah, I mean, you learned a lot of lessons along the way, and it's brought you to where you are today, so I think it's a good thing. We're always in the right place at the right time for a reason, and that's what you went through.
Yeah, exactly. All the things that I came through, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot that I came through, and it was definitely a labor of love these past few years between all kinds of stuff that, you know, you've seen that TV show, I guess you've seen Nashville that comes on Wednesday night, and
yeah.
mm-hmm. And the Crazy Hearts one and all this other stuff that's about Nashville. And some of those things are true. There are people that don't like you so much for your success or don't like what you for whatever reason. And so, you know, you just have to go about your business and keep trying to move forward with it, as in anything,
yeah.
probably.
Definitely. You can't take no personally, because otherwise you'll never make it in this business.
Yeah, and you can't take seriously what the backstabbers say either, because
right.
there are those out there. And you just have to, like, ignore them and, you know, move on.
My mom always told me those are just jealous people, so just ignore them and keep going. So it's a good thing to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was it like hearing your music for the very first time come to life on radio?
Oh, it was great. I mean, the first time that I heard it, you know, I guess, I mean, it's been a while since it was the first time. I guess it was about 2008 or 9 when I first had a song on the internet radio. But if you want to say what was it like to hear it on terrestrial radio, that was, I guess that was last year, and it was just such a cool thing to hear that and more than ever, because I knew that it was reaching a lot of people. It was, you know, in a localized area where I would be playing a show, and it was just like, wow, you know, that's cool. I wish this could happen on a national level across the country and, you know, and be on the billboards and all that, but it was nice to hear it for sure.
No, it's coming. It's coming. Trust me. Trust me. And congratulations, too, for having a song on Nashville, the TV show. I mean, that is beyond awesome. Did you have a big party and watch the episode it played on?
Actually, let me clarify that. I was actually, it was me that was on the show Nashville. I didn't have a song. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to get to my DVR then, because I didn't see that one
right.
yet.
It was the very first episode or the pilot episode, and I was in the Bluebird scene when Pam Tillis.
Oh, well, maybe then I did see you because I saw the pilot. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was in that, and then I didn't really have a song on there, but I have had, you know, you've heard Picture Perfect, and that played on radio stations across the country as my second or third single, And then I've had a song called Weightless that was on the radio and another called You Get Me That Way that got a fair amount of radio play, too. It was awesome being on the show Nashville because the waitress girl that's named Scarlett in the episode, she was just at that moment in time the waitress. And then she became later, they introduced her as, you know, a singer-songwriter, and now they're pushing her out there and all that. As Claire Bowen. So it was cool to see that and then, you know, like look back on that, I guess, too.
Well, how did you get the part? How did you get on there? Is that something you want to do, is acting as well?
Well, you know, that's kind of part of the par for the course with country musicians today or country artists today. You have Tim McGraw acting in movies and you have all kinds of people doing that. So today it's like, you know, it's country star celebrity, you know, they're all, you know, we're all out there trying to brand ourselves and get bigger and bigger in the music business and with people in general. But, you want to be seen everywhere. I got the part because there's a friend of mine who said, you know, you can go on the TV show Nashville and I'll send you the details on it. So she basically just sent over how to go about it, and I sent over a picture, and I sent over, you know, my age and everything like that, what their requirements were, and they said, come on down. We loaded up in a bus, went over there, and we're under the white tent for 12 hours that day.
Yeah.
So
people don't realize how long something like that takes to film just one episode.
Yeah, it's crazy how long it takes. And there was people that I'd known, you know, knew from Nashville. There's a lot of people, you know, in Nashville go on that show, you know, it's kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of Nashville, it's a big deal, you know. Around here, there's been a few people I know that have been on the show.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I mean, anybody to get a part like that, but you know, with you being on Nashville and being a country singer, you know, I think it's just all going to come together for you. But I was looking at your music that you released, and I see that your EP Weightless was the first release for you in 2012. How did that EP come together, and do you choose the songs you like the best, or do you go with a theme?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, that came together, to answer the first question, that came together with I started trying to put together an album with this particular guy who he was moving from Indiana to Nashville, and he wanted to put together an album, and he wasn't going to charge me to do it. And I wanted to record, but I didn't have the budget to record with. So he said, you know, I'd like to record to you, and I'll do it for free. So we started working together. Well, as it got into it, his man hours increased on the album. He asked to charge money. You know, he kind of reneged on that. And
oh boy.
And that, you know, that wasn't going to be a problem because we were going to create a way for the fans to donate, et cetera, with that. And but what happened was is he changed a riff or a guitar lick on one of the songs without telling me until he'd already done it. And we had a falling out over the guitar lick. And I was riding with Reba McEntire's band leader and keyboard player the night of the day that this guy said, I'm not going to produce your album anymore, because we had a big fight about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know, what do I do? Because this guy just kind of decided he wasn't going to produce my album. I've got all these songs that I'd like to do. And he said, well, why didn't you ask me? I would have done it. And so it ended up that Reba McEntire's keyboard player, Doug, produced my my Weightless EP. And we just kind of like, you know, I made sure that all the loose ends were tied up with the old producer. And we used that money to pay the musicians. And Doug didn't charge me anything out, you know, for doing it. He just decided to, you know, if I got the musicians covered with the money, he'd be fine on that. So he produced that album. And I did choose the songs to some degree. I had probably 30 of my songs I sent to Doug, and I sent to one of my management team members. And between those two people, we all kind of collectively agreed that these would be the songs. Now, my personal favorites might have been others at the time, because I have mm-hmm. around 1,000 songs that I've written. So
wow.
Being that many songs, I have some other songs I'd rather record, but because it kind of goes with all the rest of the songs on the EP, it was more of a what makes a cohesive album come together, or a cohesive EP, and who all
right.
is going to agree and, you know, you be unanimous on the decision, I guess.
Say. Yeah. Well, I thank God for Doug, right? I mean, my gosh, he's really helped you along, and that's wonderful. And he did it, you know, for free. You can't ask for any better.
He's amazing. And not just over that, Doug has been a friend since 2008 or 9, and we've been writing together and stuff. But he's also come through in the clutch at different moments in time when I needed him, and I couldn't have asked. Nobody else could have helped me that way, and nobody else would have. So he was
mm-hmm.
he's been a major help with things from band members to my last album that he produced, called The Bigger the Wheels, The Better the Man, for Monster Truck. So he produced both of those albums, and he, after the first one, he said, you know, because I thought, you know, does he really want to be involved with any more albums? I was kind of thinking about that, and I was kind of thinking, do I need to go with another producer? Well, he called me up one day, and he said, I just would love to be involved with any of your creative projects moving forward. And I was like, wow, you would like to do this again when I couldn't pay you the first time?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I would love to be involved. We'll get around to the money, you know, later on down the road, if you have it. If you don't have it, I just would love to just be a part of your career. And just amazing guy, an awesome guy.
You know, that says a lot about you and your talent, because he truly believes in you. That's, you know, not only being a friend, but he truly believes in you and your music, and you can tell by just what you, you know, just said to us about it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm
wow.
very grateful. Mm-hmm.
Well, since you brought up The Bigger the Wheels, The Better the Man, and I always want to say The Bigger the Wheels, The Bigger the Man, but for, I know that's not right.
That's monster truck driver ate a lot of hot dogs or something, or had a bad diet or something.
Well, the single was released in 2013, and then the album came in 2014. But I also noticed that you had The Bigger the Game, The Better They Play, L.A. Kings Stanley Cup song. And I have to say that, of course, I absolutely love your music, and I know you have a lot of fans out there, but now I think you probably have a lot of L.A. Kings fans. So I'd love to know how that came about. And are you a hockey fan?
That's a good question. Actually, how that came about, I like to watch hockey, but I don't have any dog in the fight when it comes to a team. So actually what happened with that was, formed across the country with the Monster Truck theme song, The Bigger the Wheels, the Better the Man, as we said. And it was sort of like midway through or three-fourths of the way through that tour that the writer of The Bigger the Wheels, I got the part for that song, or I should say this, words aren't coming out right tonight, but I got the part for being the Monster Truck artist because I sang the theme song, which they had already selected it by Monster Truck because they were in touch. They were connected with this guy who was the writer of the Monster Truck theme song, The Bigger the Wheels. So they were already connected with him. So it was like, okay, this is a done deal. This song will be our song for 2014. Now we need to find the artist. Well, Doug Sizemore came to me and he said, I know the songwriter of The Bigger the Wheels, the Better the Man. And he would, and we can lay your vocal over top the track. I think it fits your style. And so I went to Doug's house and I laid my vocal over the track, and it worked well. They sent the song off, and I got selected to be the Monster Truck artist by that song. Well, he lives in Chicago, the guy that wrote the song, The Bigger the Wheels, the Better the Man. And it kind of played its life out. You know, we'd sold a lot of CD copies at Monster Truck shows, but we hadn't sold a lot of other merchandise that he had bought. So there were hats, and there were T-shirts, and there were things like that, and he made a percentage off of the sales of that because he bought the merchandise and was trying to make back his cost. So he said, we should try to leverage this thing and get you to be, out there more, even have more exposure and give the song more exposure by writing a version, because they were just about to have the Stanley Cup playoffs at that time. So we were going to try to write it and then get it to somebody with the LA Kings team. And so that's where we co-wrote that together, the lyric over top the melody of The Bigger the Wheels, just to try to leverage it and cross promote both songs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely a great idea. The only thing I can say is, though, I'm in Chicago. That guy is in Chicago, so I think it should have been for my Blackhawks.
Oh, he's a diehard Blackhawks fan.
Me too.
He loves it. He was just trying to exploit who was going to probably win according to the hockey
at that time
statistics. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. I do have a dog in the race, so maybe you can come up one for them if they're going to hit the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll see. They've been doing well, though. I mean, 40-something years, and they finally got it. So, a couple times. So we're on a roll. And I just wish that I don't watch the other sports, but I just wish that some of the other Chicago teams would start doing something, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they need a song. Maybe you need to write a song for them, and that'll happen. Who knows?
Maybe help them out. Yeah, the Cubs got close, I think. They got a pretty good team last year, I believe.
Yeah.
Didn't the Cubs have a good team? Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I root for all Chicago teams. And with there being two baseball teams, of course, I root for both of them. But I won't say that out in public because there's diehard Cubs fans, there's diehard Sox fans, and somebody would lynch me. So I just keep that to myself.
Well, since we're on the topic of Chicago, I'm actually going to be coming and performing in Chicago in April. And it'll be April the 10th. Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville, and it'll be April the 11th at the Original Mothers.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to bring that up towards the end of the show, but I have to get to one of those. I have no clue where either one of those places are. Never heard of them, but I'll find out where they are from where I live, and I definitely would love to get to one of them and maybe meet you in person.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
That's one of my dreams is to meet every guest that I've had on my show in person and get to one of their live concerts, because there's nothing like a live concert, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I look forward to meeting you as well, and I'm up there. I like to have a lot of energy up on stage when I'm playing and, you know, just pretty much play to the audience. So I'll say, hey, what do you guys like to hear? You know, give me a request. Do you like to hear George Strait? Do you want to hear some Luke Bryan? Or what do you want to hear? You know, and you know, I just kind of go off of that as I'm playing live and then slip some originals in there, you know, every now and then.
Oh, so you play cover music, too.
Oh, I've got like 150 cover songs, I know.
Wow.
But I do.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, I'll go 4 hours straight just on, you know, just on taking requests. And I can do, you know, cover songs. I could do them longer than I could probably play because, you know, my fingers probably would fall off from being sore
yeah.
if I tried to play all the cover songs.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you do that, though, because to me that's a tribute to a lot of the artists that everybody loves, including yourself. I went to a concert a couple times for one of the artists that I like, and I remember that some girl yelled out one of the songs that she wanted him to play, and he says, hey, I'm not a jukebox, and I thought, wow, that's not very nice. You know, and it was one of his own songs. Oh my gosh, it's too funny. But you know, you got to go with the flow. You got to go with the people. The people and the fans are the ones that buy the music and come to your concerts. And I'm great that you have that attitude that you do that as well.
Yeah, it takes it. I mean, it really requires it to be a full time artist to know cover song because. That's what people want to hear, what they've already heard before, for the most part. And then I'll put in songs off the album and stuff, and they'll go, oh, wow, you know, play some more of that. And then that's my life.
Yes.
To just like, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Y'all still want to hear original music? Well, okay, great. Let's keep going until you guys get
that's
tired
right.
because I like playing a whole lot more.
That's right. Well, now, hopefully I got this right. Your song, Honk If Your Country, was featured in the Michael Ealy film, Unconditional?
That's right. You got
you,
that part
you
right.
You weren't on there. The song was, right?
That's right. Yeah, you got that. and it's even
good.
Better, too, Pam, because it's in the prison scene. So it's like the perfect country western song. It's in a prison
oh.
scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Well, did you know ahead of time that that was going to happen? And the reason I asked that question is because I've had interviews with some of my guests who didn't find out until after the fact.
Oh, wow. That would be an experience if I found out after the fact. Actually, I found out well before the movie came out that it was going to be in there. And I'll tell you, to try to make this as short story as I can, but it's really cool how this all came together with the movie. I was in 2010. I was in the ASCAP building on Music Row, riding with a friend of mine who was in a lead singer of a band called Curtis and Lucky, and they were out there touring the country at the time. And me and Brian wrote the song "Honk If Your Country." Well, he said before we ever started writing it, he was throwing out some of his titles. And then I was going to throw out some of my titles and my ideas for songs that day. And Brian said, I got this title called Honk If Your Country. I said, oh, I like it. Let's write it. So we got into it. We were about halfway into it. And he said, I just want to thank you again for writing this title and this song with me because everybody that I presented the title to has turned it down and said it's too hokey. And I was like, well, you know, that's crazy. You know, it hasn't been done before that I know of, Honk If Your Country. It'll be, I can totally hear it Alan Jackson-ish, sort of like what he
right.
would do. And
yep.
And so let's try to write it to that. You know, we've already got a good start on this, and I don't see why these other people turned it down. Well, they ended up putting it out there on bumper stickers and like using it to promote their band. And I was driving down the road one day and I see the bumper sticker in the back glass of a truck cab, and it's like Honk Your Country. And I'm thinking, oh, that's so cool. That's my song that I wrote right on the back of this truck as I'm heading down the highway. And so I had to pull up and I had to honk at the guy, you know, and
yeah.
he had no idea that he was looking at one of the writers of the song, yeah. Honk Your Country. And so anyway, to get back to what I was going to say, because I was really going to go somewhere else and go off on a tangent, but
okay.
What happened was I'd been riding with another member of the band who played lead guitar for Curtis and Lucky, and he got kind of upset. He wasn't being he was going to end up being a side man or kind of in the background instead of being a trio with him in the front of the band and the pictures and all that. So he kind of got upset. He decided to quit the band, and they hired a new guitar player to come on. That guitar player heard Honk Your Country, and he had connections with L.A. So he pitched the song to some publishing company in L.A. The publishing company pitched it to the producers of, Unconditional, and they chose the song. Well, this is the coolest part about it. When I was in school, in high school, I had a Bible teacher who we all knew in school that he went off to Hollywood to pursue film and TV. And so he went off and did that. Well, years later, I mean, I never was like really close to this teacher or anything. And I don't think he remembered me or my name or anything like that. This was just complete, divine intervention or coincidence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being the same teacher who had produced 15 feature independent films like Unconditional, who picked my song out of all the songs years later, 15 or so years later. And it was just like, wow, that's really amazing that out of all those songs, he picked it. So I reconnected with him, and how I found out was an old person that I went to school with. He actually said, this guy was the producer of that movie, and I did not know it till a week before the movie was coming out, when I was promoting the fact that I had the song in it, to find out that it was in fact in this guy's movie. I knew it was going to be in there in 2011. I had settled up on the paperwork and all that, but did not know, until right before the movie came out, and I got to go to the first screen showing of that, it was, in fact, my old high school teacher who had moved to L.A.
That's probably one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. I love it. You were definitely meant to be there and be in his class, because somehow or another, subconsciously, he picked that song. Well, of course, because it's a great song, but... it came together, right place, right time. I believe in that stuff. I believe in fate, and I believe in karma too. So
that's good.
Well, you shared this stage with CMA nominee Brett Eldredge, and you appeared on TV shows and radio shows. So which one of those was scarier?
It was probably the Brett Eldredge, thing, if I had to pick. I'm usually pretty good with the radio stuff, I don't have a lot of anxiety anymore, over that. First it was, but I've gotten over that now. But being on stage with Brett and just having getting that opportunity to do that, it was quite a thrill ride, I guess you could say. It happened at the Colorado State Fair, and I had not seen Brett in like 7 years or so, or maybe it was 5 or 6 years, I can't remember, but he had kind of wandered in certain circles with me back in 2008, and we just kind of crossed paths here and there, and then 2009 I saw a little bit of him, and then he sort of like, I saw more and more shows he was performing, and we kind of lost touch, I guess, because they were getting him ready to launch with Don't You, but yeah, Yeah, it was really cool to, after he had just had that number one hit with Don't You, getting to play, you know, the stage with him, it was super cool.
Did you guys get to sit and chit-chat after the show or before it?
We just kind of, we caught up a little bit, you know, he was so swarmed with people, you know, coming around
mm-hmm.
him, it was hard to really catch up with him, but we did get to say hi and you know, how's each other doing and things like that for a brief moment.
But do you do that after a show, after a live show? Do you meet with your fans?
Yes, I always go out and because it's the fans that matter. It's the fans that, you know, make everything possible. I don't have a big label with lots of money behind what I'm doing right now. It's all hard work and everything like that. But the fans, sharing the videos, sharing the posts, making it happen, you know, whether it's word of mouth or whether it's on the internet or whatever, it helps so much. And so I always go out and I say, hey, how's it going? What's your name? You know, you know, what can I hook you up with, you know, t-shirt or CD or whatever, you know, what can I sign for you? You know, it's always about the fans for me.
And, you know, that's one of the best things for us fans too, is get to meet somebody that you love seeing and love buying their music and meeting them after a concert. You know, a lot of times that doesn't happen when you get to be, you know, huge, huge, huge. You do the concert, you walk off the stage, and that's it. That's the last you see of them. So getting to meet anybody that we enjoy listening to and purchase their music is a big deal for us as well. And I have to say that I absolutely love your interaction with your fans on Twitter. And I want to give a shout out to Sharon Monteith, who is the one that introduced me to you and your music. And I'd like to know if you'd want to give a shout out to your fans right now.
Absolutely. Sharon is one of my, well, best friends and fan. She became a fan of my music first, and we've kind of gotten to know each other through that, through the music. So yeah, thank you, Sharon, for, you know, sharing all the stuff out there and the Twitter stuff and connecting me with Take Two Radio. Also, Heather Landsgron, she is great about promoting stuff out there as well. And there's more. There's so many people that are doing that now. Even today, I have a few more people that have heard the music and have been sharing it to even mention. I know there's one person that I'm just not clicking right now. It's been one of those nights.
Well, I did see that somebody gave you a shout-out from Scotland.
Yes, Shell. I want to thank Shell from Scotland, Shell McLean, giving me a shout-out over there, asking about the interview. And also I'd like to thank Back Porch Guitars. I just got a new sponsorship. A few months ago, they sent me a free guitar, beautiful black, an ebony guitar, acoustic electric, and I'm staring here at their wishing you a happy new year and Merry Christmas from Back Porch Guitars. So Jim and Susan Haggerty, thank you very much. Thank you at Blue Collar Music on Twitter for your support and sharing everything and the guitar as well.
That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. It's always great to get a guitar, isn't it? You can never have too many of them.
When it's free, it's that much better.
Right?
Right.
And I know somebody that names their guitars. Do you name your guitars?
I don't really name them. I just, you know, I guess I call one of them my baby and the other, you know, I guess my new baby. I don't know. Don't have any particular name.
I think it's cute. Well, I also wanted to thank you for allowing me to play your music on my show. And this past Monday special Christmas show, I played your song Simple Christmas with you. I was so very happy that you made a Christmas song, because it's hard getting them from indies out there. I don't know what it is. I think that they think it's taboo in a way. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that writing Christmas songs are great, you know, because I've written four of them out of my catalog. I've written four Christmas tunes. Most recent one called Christmas Lights, and it's just about how we can each be Christmas lights to those around us. So I wrote that with Nate Anderton recently. I think it's not taboo. I think we need Christmas songs out there, and independent acts need to be the ones to do it, because you know you're just going to get pop fluff from mainstream radio when they write a Christmas song. It's not going to – heard something today on the radio. It was like a Rosy Christmas or something, and all it did was say, Rosy Christmas, Rosy Christmas, Rosy Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, man, this is just a bunch of pop, melodic-driven fluff. So I don't believe it's taboo at all. I mean, what about the great Christmas songs like White Christmas and the ones that Irving Berlin wrote back years ago? And what about, all the good old standards? Don't we need a few more of those kinds of things?
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. And I'll have you know that White Christmas is my all-time favorite, and it's my all-time favorite Christmas movie as well. I sit there and I watch it, and I cry every single year.
I watched it a couple of nights ago, as a matter of fact, with Bing Crosby and all them. Yeah.
So that's something that will never change, that'll be around forever and ever. And I know I just posted on my Take Two Radio Music Facebook something about that. And there was Joe Solo. He gives out ideas and things like that and information. And he said that you should all be doing Christmas music, because that'll be played forever and ever. And think of the money that you'll get paid in royalties for it being played forever and ever.
Yeah.
So it was good advice.
Yeah. To me, as far as like recommending it to artists, I think the artists should do it. I have heard some songwriters in the past say that they don't like to write Christmas songs because they are hard to get recorded by other acts. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I see the point of that. But as far as like a independent artist, you're going to be putting this on albums and making compilations and things like that. It's not taboo in my thinking, because if you write it good, it shouldn't be taboo. If you write a bad Christmas song, maybe you want to hide that one in your catalog or something. You know? But it's only taboo if it's crap, you know. So
right.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite Christmas tradition that you look forward to every year?
I just like the whole. I like to listen to the music as I'm, you know, unwrapping gifts under the tree. You know, it's pretty
mm-hmm.
much that traditional kind of stuff. Being with the family, I guess, and that's one of the things that one of my songs is about, that I wrote Christmas songs, was how it's changed over the years. The meaning for me has changed from being when I was a kid, all about the gifts and all about what am I going to get. And I think everybody does that. And then it turns to a more family later in life. And definitely it's about family now and getting to spend that time with people you love.
That's so very true. My kids are grown, and thankfully they've had a couple kids of their own, and it's not reinvented Christmas for me, but it's brought it back to the joy. I mean, because when they get older, it's more like they open up their Christmas gifts and they know pretty much what they're getting because we ask them, because when they're grown, it's a little bit harder to buy for them. And, you know, they're appreciative of it and thank you and everything. But the kids' faces, the joy and the surprise in their faces, it's just, there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It means that much more to them, you know, as
mm-hmm.
well. And the needy kids, too, you know.
Definitely.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Meredith Tooley. She's been awesome at promoting the stuff out there. She's been great. I just want to give a shout out to Meredith Tooley and also Crazy About Country. They've been retweeting and sending a lot of the stuff out to different places. And I want to give a shout out to those two Twitter accounts too. some people.
Yes. Yeah, I noticed a lot of retweets by certain people, and they are some of them that you just mentioned. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I thank them all. I wouldn't have had, you know, half of the guests on or half of the music that I've had on my show this year or last year without fans, you know, showing it to me and tweeting, hey, check this band out or check this song out and you know, maybe you should have them on your radio show. And that's how that's all worked. I mean, it's very little work for me to do. Not like my other show that I have. I have Take Two Radio Music where I interview actors and producers and authors and things like that. And believe me, there's a lot more work that goes into it. 1,000 emails to get 5 yeses for a guest to be on a show. So with the music show, people just are so happy to do it. It makes me happy. I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely so much perspiration for what you get in return. You know, that happens with booking. About 30 or 40 emails. Places, hey, you know, I'd love to book your place, you know, and here's my music, here's my links to my songs, and I might be lucky to get 3 to respond, you know.
Yeah.
3 out of 40.
Yeah, I know. And the ones that I care the least about and I get upset, well, I don't get upset, but it just gets on my last nerve, is when they don't answer you at all. I'd rather have them tell me no, not at this time, instead of ignoring me altogether.
Well, I'm used to that. I don't even, usually what I do with that, just, you know, here's what I do. I say, hey, did you get this email? You know, I'll follow it up until they answer me.
Yeah. I'll do that once in a while if it's really somebody that I want to have on as a guest, but I don't do it too much anymore. I just figured if I send it out, if they really want to do it, you know, they'll answer in one way or another. And I've been very, very happy with the guests that I've had on my Take Two radio show as well. And last night, I got to interview Matthew Modine, and I was like, unbelievably grateful, and it felt like I was in dreamland interviewing him because he was probably one of the biggest stars that I've had on my show yet. So
oh, wow.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, so it was great. But that's why I separated the music from that show, because I started getting a lot of requests from the indies and publicists and your guys' managers and things like that to, you know, have you guys come on my show and play their music. So I thought, let's separate it. Let's give them their own show. And that's how that all came about. So I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I did that because not everybody wants to listen to an actor talk, but everybody wants to hear music. That's just part
right.
of life.
Yeah. Right. And it's so important to us. I mean, to me as an independent act, to have this kind of like oasis, you're kind of like an oasis in a desert, you know, all the independent radio stations that are out there playing our music, because it's, you know, it can be really tough and daunting, and just have that, you know, that reassurance that the music is getting heard and getting out there. I can't thank you enough and show my appreciation enough. That.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I really, really, it is my pleasure. Now, did you get any advice from when you were just starting out that you would like to pass on to other musicians just starting out?
I guess if you, there's so much, I don't know where to begin, but it's basically, I would say that if you're an artist that's trying to get out there and perform and do some shows and everything, I would say start with your hometown before you move to Nashville, and just try to, if you're in a town that has a supportive country music scene, and say you're wanting to be a country music artist, or say you're trying to be rock, but your town doesn't have a rock scene, I would say that if it does, go ahead and go to your hometown first, try to build your following. If it does not have the particular scene that your genre is, then you could move to Nashville and try going with that. That's what my case is. because my hometown didn't really have a country music scene. I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee area. And believe it or not, it's just bluegrass and blues and some rock and roll. But not really country at all. And they maybe just now they're getting a couple of country bars there. But it's really not a country scene. And so
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it's more of a country scene in Iowa than it is in Chattanooga.
That's funny.
Yeah. But, it's so I would just say try to do that and try to gauge whether you have what it takes first, because nobody wants to waste their time, you know.
Right.
Secondly, nobody wants to be the person to tell you that you suck. You know,
yeah.
Nobody wants to say your music's not good or your voice isn't good. Nobody'd like to tell you that, so everybody's going to pat you on the back and say that you're great. You know, so if your mom says that you're great, then it might not mean that you're necessarily great to the rest of everybody. You know?
Right.
But if you have a lot of people telling you that you're great, you believe in yourself and you believe in your talents, and maybe even get some music industry people feedback and say, just shoot straight with me honestly. Do I have anything worth what it takes? Because I don't want to waste my time out there, you know. I'd rather just dive into my career, whatever path that I'm supposed to be in, and do it with all my being or whatever. And
right.
then that maybe that person will say, you ain't got a shot in hell, or you've got something to keep going. There may be a little magic spark. You may not be there yet, but you might have something to keep going. And then you know that you can keep pursuing it and getting better, because you don't want to discourage anybody from getting better and improving themselves. Because I know that me as a writer and definitely as a performer too, I have improved immensely since I first moved to Nashville. I mean, there's no question about it. And so you just need to have something to begin with, to work with. Do you have the talent? Do you have what it takes? So I'd say that they need to get a read on that. You know, a gauge on that, and then just like work like crazy, because it's going to take all the work ethic you have to be able to do it in the kind of market it is. Because today in the country music market, it's a lot harder than it ever used to be.
Right.
You could get by in the 1970s and 1980s with singing about a guy named Herman Schwartz or something. You know, You could record that kind of stuff, and there's Hall of Famers that I know who they've got stories where they were just writing in an office. They were signed to their publishing companies, and there was a guy upstairs, and he heard the song through a vent in the floor, and decided that he was going to record that song as they were writing it. Yeah, just by hearing it through the floor, and that doesn't happen much anymore, because you've got so much more competition, so many more songwriters, and all the artists are writing their stuff just about now. Maybe once in a blue moon, a song will slip through the cracks and get recorded by a big name act that somebody didn't even know them or something, you know. But majority of the time, I just say, you know, keep at it, work hard, do your social media, get your website built, and all that. Once you know that you've got what it takes, then just, you've got to wear three hats. You got to be the music, the booking person. You've got to be the social media person. And then you got to sit there and learn your craft and your guitar and your creative side. And unfortunately, it's about 80 to 90% business and about 10% creative and music. So you just have to kind of balance it out. And it's a tough balance sometimes.
And there's never enough hours in the day, but you got to make the time to do that. And especially with social media and the website, a lot of bands don't realize that. I've seen it firsthand. You know, somebody will tell me about a band, and I'll try to look them up, or somebody will send me a song through email. They'll submit their music, and they'll not include their Twitter or their Facebook or their website or something, and I have to ask them, do you have those? Because I like to share it with our listeners when I play their song. And they'll come back to me and, nah, I just got a Facebook, that's it, you know. And then you go on there, and they haven't been on there since 1992.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they need to get with that. That's a very important part as well. And you've given out a lot of great advice, and I'm sure that anybody that's listening that is into music and thinking of making a career out of it will heed your advice.
Well, while we're talking about that, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
While we're talking about that, people can find me at facebook.com/Brandon Maddox Music, M-A-D-D-O-X, Brandon Maddox Music on Facebook, and also at brandonmaddoxmusic.com. That'll take you to Facebook and Twitter right there, and it's at BMAD Music on Twitter. So you can just stalk me. I give you permission to stalk me and just say Brandon Maddox Facebook on Google, and that should take you to my Facebook and yada yada.
Yeah.
But I've got all kinds of pictures.
Go ahead.
I've got pictures, and I've got all kinds of stuff on the Facebook site and on the website, and then Twitter. I'm on there a lot. So you can really interact best on Twitter if somebody just wants to tweet and say hey or whatever, because I'm on there pretty much all the time.
Right, yeah. It's amazing. You keep hours like I do. I work, you know, all day and all night, and I'll see you on there as well. So you do keep up with what you spoke about, so that's a good thing. I also want to mention to our listeners, don't forget to pick up Brandon's music. It's on his websites, on iTunes, Amazon, wherever you get your music from these days. The music on your website, I noticed you have some autographed CDs and merchandise, so that's a good thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody wants an autographed CD or merchandise and they live too far away to hit any of the shows that are on the tour page of my website, they've gone down and looked, and you know, so far I'm booked up to about April or May, but none of those line up to where they're at. I'll be happy to mail them something. Just message me privately, you know, your address or whatever, and we'll work out the details from there.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I love that. Now, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you one last question, and which song is closest to your heart?
Let's see. I like a lot of tunes. There's probably none that I've recorded that you've heard. I've got one that's called My Best Dream Has Come True, and I wrote that for my girlfriend who comes on the road with me and everything. She is there throughout, you know, my life, and has just helped me so much with everything. That song was based upon, you know, her just giving up her job to come out on the road with me, and that was written to her. So that's probably one of my most personal ones as well.
That's beautiful. That's a wonderful dedication.
Yeah, it's a balance between, you know, like, you know, the ones I put out are aimed at being a little bit more commercial, and they might really mean something to me, but you ask what the most means in that one.
Yeah. And I'm sure she loves it and appreciates it, and she loves you to give up her job and everything to go with you. That's a good thing. Can't go wrong with that.
No.
Well, I'm going to let you go so I can play a few songs and for our listeners so that they can listen to it too in case they miss Monday's show. I'm going to play Simple Christmas with you, and I'm going to play Picture Perfect and You Get Me That Way. But I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today. I had a great time learning more about you and your music, and I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a very blessed New Year.
Thank you so much for playing my songs. I really, really appreciate it, Pam. And if we have any listeners in Evansville, Indiana,
thank you for reminding me. I'm so sorry. I was going to bring that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. In Evansville, Indiana, tomorrow night, from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. tomorrow night, the 19th, at the Backstage Bar and Grill there in Evansville. I'll be playing from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., doing an all-request night. If you want to hear a cover song tomorrow night, come on out. I'll play your cover song. I'll be mixing it in. If you want to hear an original song, request that too. I love playing those. and then on Saturday night, I'm going to be in Madisonville, Kentucky. If any of you are in that area or the Owensboro area, anywhere in Kentucky around Madisonville, I'm playing at the Crowded House. The Crowded House in Madisonville from 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Saturday night.
Do you play any Black Sabbath? I'm kidding.
You know what? If somebody's got lyrics on their iPhone and they'll let me hear a little bit of it, I just might have to get the dark voice out, you know, get gravelly, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that to you. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you again, and I really appreciate you being here. And I look forward to your new music. Anything that you have coming out, get it to me, and I'll play it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too. I'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And for our listeners, here is Picture Perfect.
Freckles on her nose, probably not the girl you'd find in a fashion show. A little white ring holds her hair just fine, and those baggy jeans look great to me when I take her out at night. She may not be a 10, but then again, if you ask me, she's picture perfect on a Sunday afternoon. Curled up on the couch, no makeup on or sweet perfume. Picture perfect. It's all those little things she doesn't have that get to me. More than worth it. Perfect. Our first date, I stopped to buy that rose, locked my keys inside my car, had to call her on her phone. We spent that night fishing in the dark with a rusty old coat hanger. She hit the mark, unlocked more than just the door to my car. Oh, and that kiss was picture perfect, though not quite like I'd planned. She smiled, eyes kissed and teased in the front seat of my sedan. Picture perfect, just one more memory that looking back still gets to me. More than worth it. Oh, oh, oh. Picture perfect. She showed me a snapshot from when she was 13. Top with freckles would be so picture perfect on a Sunday afternoon. Curled up on the couch, no makeup on or sweet perfume. Picture perfect. It's all those little things she doesn't have to steal. It's me. than worth it. Oh, oh, oh. Picture perfect. She's picture perfect. Oh, she's still picture perfect.
Beautiful song. Next up is You Get Me That Way by Brandon Maddox.
You never catch me with a dozen yellow daisies in my hand, or thinking twice about giving some other girl a second glance. But lately, I'd say, I've been thinking, talking, and acting a little bit strange, and you're to blame. You keep me that way, hit me in a good way, got me all tongue-tied, mixed up, twisted inside. Hey, baby, I like it that way, make me want to sing, get a little rowdy, got me on the floor, here we go. Can I say, you get me that way? Honey, could it be that cute little sideways smile that throws me off? Or your deep brown drive me crazy eyes that always get me lost? Who knows, who cares? You're just one sweet, beautiful, don't know how you did what you did. Make me feel like a kid. You get me that way, get me in a good way, got me all tongue-tied, mixed up, twisted inside. Hey, baby, I like it that way. Make me wanna sing, get a little rowdy, got me all up, oh, here we go. Hello, what can I say? You get me that way. That way, get me in a good way, got me all tongue-tied, mixed up, twisted inside. Hey, baby, I like it that way. Make me want to sing, get a little rowdy, got me all up, oh, here we go. Hello, what can I say? Oh, baby, you get me, you got me, I'm losing it, but girl, I'm liking this. Hey,
going to be Simple Christmas with You.
Living in hard times played out on the news. Struggling families, no work to buy food. I've got to find a little peace this Christmas Eve. You by my side, that shouldn't be hard. We'll build us a fire, snuggle up in the dark, and laugh like children. Don't it feel good to believe? I just want a simple Christmas with you. All that we hold and all that we know is right here in this room. I just want a simple Christmas with you.
to the whisper of snow on the roof, making pancakes and PJs, playing all afternoon. Wanna stay in this moment forever, let the world rush by. I just want a simple Christmas with you. Where all that we hold and all that we know is right here in this room. I just want a simple Christmas with you. As last-minute shoppers buy gifts for the tree, we'll smile knowing we've got all that we need. I just want a simple Christmas with you. Where all that we hold and all that we know is right here in this. I just want a simple Christmas with you. I just want a simple Christmas with you.
Simple Christmas with You by Brandon Maddox. And again, I'd like to thank him for being a guest tonight, as well as thanking all the guests that I've had all year long. And thank you to all the listeners. If you're new to the show, I do keep all of my previous playlists from Music Monday, as well as the interviews that I've done throughout the year and from last year, on my website, which is take2radiomusic.com. And that's with the number 2. You can check it out there. I'm so very grateful for each and every one of you that have been with me throughout the year, and I want to wish everyone a happy holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas, and everyone have a blessed new year. I'll be back in January. This was the last show of this year. Don't have an exact date yet, but watch for that. I'll tweet it out and post it on the website and put it on the Facebook page for Take Two Radio Music as well. If you are an indie artist and you'd like to be on the show, or if you have music you'd like to submit, you can send that to take2radio2@gmail.com. Again, that's with the number 2. If you're a listener and you know of an artist, like Sharon told me about Brandon, tweet it to me at take2radiomusic, and I'll check them out, and we'll see what we can do in getting their music on the show or maybe having an interview with them. It's just something that's going to be in our lives forever. Music is universal, and no matter what language it's in, there's something for somebody to enjoy. So enjoy the music, enjoy life, spend time with your family and your friends, tell them you love them, and enjoy the holidays. God bless each and every one of you. Take care, and we'll see you again next year.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or, for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.